Oh, hello, internet.
We're live.
Can I say hello to the internet? Is the internet there? Is it okay for me to say hello to the internet?
Yeah, the internet's there.
Oh, internet. How have you been? It's been a week.
Amanda's making a drink. What are you making?
It's a secret.
It sounds like a cocktail.
It does.
It's called Let's See What the Cats Did with the Plug.
Oh.
I play that all the time.
Yeah, I got it. All right. I'm golden. Sorry.
Hey, it's the Squirrel Report with special guest Amanda.
Who might have been a TV star, except
except she wasn't.
What is up with the chat? I have to say the chat is acting a little weird.
Is it?
Yeah, it's acting a little weird. I don't know what's going on.
Do you work?
Try reloading it. Sometimes the flash plugin or whatever the heck. I think it's flash because flash is what's crashing on my computer all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
It made me have to log in again.
You gotta clear your cookies. That's always the trick.
It's those damn cookies.
That's right. It's especially good if they have chocolate chips in them.
Yeah, well, this chat does not have chocolate chips in it.
Yet. We're working on it.
It will someday.
Anyway, so we do have a show tonight.
Yes,
we have a number of topics and no call-in topics, so.
Because we don't need call-in topics there's a lot of discussion here.
Yeah. I don't know. People always seem a little bit hesitant to call in, but seriously, if you have a thought, call in.
Look, we've got someone who is on the 2020 hack job. If you saw the 2020 hack job or saw Fallout for the 2020 hack job, that's what we're going to be talking about for the first part.
Yeah.
And so you've got to have something to say about that because it was a hack job.
Amanda, let's just get right into it.
Hang on. Wait.
What?
Oh. Music.
Okay.
That's what. It is. Thursday, February 6th, 2014. This is episode 90 of the
Squirrel
Report.
That's almost like 2 years worth of shows.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
Almost. Oh, hey.
What?
Weird's blower shut off.
Nope, not true. I hit mute.
Oh, you hit mute. Well.
Do you sit right next to your heat register or something weird?
No. I've just got a dehumidifier down here that's like ultra industrial and expensive.
A dehumidifier in the winter?
Yeah. Yeah, it runs like all the time.
Wow. Huh.
I don't really know how the hell the thing works.
Okay.
Spent a lot of money for it. I think we got ripped off.
Gotcha.
But it does work. It does pee water into my sump pump.
We're having trouble having enough water in the air here.
Yeah, well, we've got a humidifier upstairs in the baby's room.
Wow.
You have a humidifier and a dehumidifier. Okay.
So they're running simultaneously.
So they're fighting each other.
That's right. Yeah. Well, hopefully most of the humidity is being sucked up into my baby's crap-filled nostrils.
There you go. Well, we have I guess I should, every once in a while, I like to introduce everyone because it's been almost, like Brita said, almost 2 years. And if you don't know who we are, then, well.
My name is JG, and I'm from Massachusetts. But now
no,
I live
I'm JG.
Oh, okay. My name is JG. Brita, and I'm a librarian. And
no, no, I'm Spartacus.
And I'm in a sci-fi novel.
We have Weird Beard, who blogs at Weird World.
That's me.
And we have Brita, who used to blog and doesn't because she says blogs are over, and I kind of agree with her. But you can find her on Facebook. And we have me, Alan. And tonight we have Amanda, who is, well, this all started.
I think we should just declare Amanda the guest co-host for the whole show.
Okay. That works for me. So just as a you know, for in case somebody hasn't been paying attention, this all started because you did the free shotgun thing, right?
Yes, that is correct. In August of last year, I heard a thing on the local radio, the talk show I listened to, and they were interviewing Kyle Copeland from the Armed Citizen Project, and they were working on a program to arm single mothers throughout the city of Houston. So it was, you know, go to the website, put in your information, and I did, and I had actually forgotten about it until they contacted me in October and asked me if I was still interested. So, of course, I was, and I took the class and did the training, and they told me that 2020 was interested in doing a piece on, you know, women and guns, because that was really the direction that, you know, the firearms market was going, which was, we all know now, was not quite the situation on 2020's end. And so I agreed to it, and we did a sit-down panel with David Muir from 2020 in October. And then in early January, 2020 came out to my job, and they came to my house to ask me a couple more questions and get some B-reel footage, the stuff that, you know, airs in the background while there's a voiceover, and none of it made the show.
Not a single minute?
There was less than 2 minutes of footage from any of the women from our ACP panel, and there was about a minute and a half of an interview with Kyle and David. But they said that he was just the trainer. They didn't really talk about the program, you know, what ACP does that much. And that was pretty much it. And the only woman that they highlighted from the group was the one that said, "I almost shot my son."
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, I it could have been worse.
Well, I have to say, first of all, that since they cut you and most of the people in your group, that's kind of a testament to your group.
That after I got over it the next day, that's kind of how I put it. We were too good. They could not even edit us to fit their agenda.
Good.
Which speaks volumes of how well we were trained and taught on the laws and everything about, you know, safety and keeping our, you know, knowing what we can and can't do with our firearms and training our children. And, you know, Milo, my son, got put on the spot when they were doing their interview here, and he still answered questions well enough that that could not be edited to fit their agenda.
Oh, good on Milo.
Good job.
And then Kyle admitted to me when we were talking about it last week before the show aired that they had asked him if he could round up some women that would be willing to do that experiment that they did in Florida.
Oh, my.
And he just vehemently told them absolutely not. Additionally, they might have broken the law by doing that, because there are some very, very explicit, detailed instructions about gun storage around children within the state of Florida. And they knowingly left these children alone in a room with a firearm. Just because there was a camera in there doesn't mean it's okay. So we're curious to see where that's going to go as well.
My bet is nowhere.
Nowhere.
They're
going to get a pass, but we still brought attention to that. You know, so far the mainstream media is more dangerous to children with guns than families.
And I mean, this was an older quote unquote study. And it was actually replicated a couple times, because I believe I saw a different one.
Yeah, done I did it, too.
Done it another time, where it's pretty much the same thing, but the methods were exactly the same and really quite sinister when you look at it. Is essentially what they did was they did a whole bunch of, like, you know, allegedly, I mean, I got to say allegedly only because everything else is done so sideways on this that I don't trust them at all. And they've proven themselves not to be trustworthy. But they allegedly taught some kids by the book the Eddie Eagle NRA safety program for children and guns, which is a fantastic training tool.
It really is.
Yeah. And then they turned around and said, "All right, but now what we're going to do is we're going to take the firing pins out of some guns, and we're going to put them in a classroom with the kids that have been trained and see if they follow the rules. Well, except for, you know, in this case, the teacher said, I got to go step out. There's candy and toys here. And then, you know, in another case, they sent the kids into the room where there were toys, and they hid the guns in the toy boxes.
Yeah, and, because that's where you store your guns, right?
Well, that's where you store the guns, but it's also super conditioning is when you, you know, I mean, my
toys
mom,
go in the toy box.
Yeah, my mom did the greatest trick on earth, and my wife and I copied it before we had kids, which was my mom just would, she had, they were all my old baby toys. And my wife and I just would go to, you know, every time we'd see, you know, a cheap toy for like $1 or $2 at, you know, Target or Walmart or someplace like that, or got our hands on some, you know, some cheap little gimmicky toy, we threw it in a little box. And then when friends came over with kids and the adults wanted to have adult time and the kids were, you know, up our asses, we'd dig out the toy box, drop it in the middle of the floor and say, hey, check out this toy box. And the kids would just be completely in awe of just all these new toys, and they'd play quietly while the adults got to do adult stuff. And but the bottom line is the kids are going to dig through everything, and they're going to play with everything because it's a toy box, and an adult said, this is a toy box, and that's okay. And if they happen to have dug out a real firearm, they are going to automatically assume that it is a toy, because why else would it be in a damn toy box?
Well, and with the firing pin removed, it is a toy.
Well, that is true, and it was also in the 2020. It was a Lorsen, so.
But, yes,
I mean that's just begging for it. I mean, as I was saying to some people after I saw that segment, was if they had done something equally irresponsible, but a little bit more realistic, and had the teacher either throw it in an unlocked desk drawer, or put it in her handbag or a backpack or something that was the teacher's equipment and then left the room, they'd have no footage.
Right.
Because the kids are just playing with the toys and eating the candy. Yep. They are not, you know, climbing up onto the top shelf of teacher's closet. They're not digging out the scissors. They're not, you know, they're not doing any of the things that they were told not to play with. They were playing with the stuff that they were supposed to play with, including the guns.
Yep. Which is
and in most classrooms these days, you're not even allowed to have candy, so that probably broke all kinds of rules.
Well, they're doing exactly what they were told to do, playing with the toys. I mean, that was the intention. I mean, this was they set this up knowing that the kids would do that and knowing that they'd get good footage of it. With, you know, oh my God, this kid's raving around the scary gun. Ah, you know, I mean, it's completely disingenuous. I mean, it is every bit as bad as the exploding gas tank thing that they did, where they faked that up too. So
well, that was NBC, not.
Yeah,
they're
all the same.
But it's all the same, and it's exactly the same thing. As they couldn't get the car to explode.
Right.
So they
interviewed Amanda's group. They didn't get the answers they were looking for, so they had to come up with something else.
Yep. And as Amanda says, it shows how good the group is, but it also shows absolutely how sinister they are.
Yeah.
Is that they are willing to, I mean, and it's one of those, I mean, these, I assume that the reporters weren't from Texas. They were from, you know, New York or LA.
New York City.
Yep. So they flew somebody in from New York, put them in a hotel room so that they could do the multi days of reporting. They had the photographers and all of that stuff in it. They committed so much money to it, and they were perfectly willing to throw it all in the trash. Not because, you know, it wasn't a good story, because it's a fantastic story. I mean, the ACP project is just an amazing group, and all of that. I mean, it's an amazing news story, and they've made national news all over the place. But because they were there to create a narrative, it didn't fit the narrative, so they were perfectly willing to throw those thousands of dollars in the trash. Awful.
Yeah, but they honestly, the news organizations do that all the time for lots of stuff. I mean, it's not just this, although this was really disingenuous. But you know, you got to remember everything they do. I'd be surprised if they air, you know, 1% of the footage they shoot on anything. You know, it's, you know, they only have, believe it or not, they only have so much time, and they got a lot of crap to fill it up with. Now, the problem is the crap they pick to fill it up with is not, you know, they pick it, not us.
True. We estimated they had approximately 15 to 20 hours of just ACP.
Yeah.
And you got 3 minutes of crap out of it. And there were probably only 3 minutes of crap out of 20 hours.
I wanted to ask if they couldn't get your group to offer up their children for their little experiment, what group did they use? Do you know? Where did they get those? Where did they get those people?
That happened in Florida.
Okay.
We don't know who they contacted or how they went about it. It did not. First of all, it probably wouldn't be able to happen in Texas, and it wasn't our group. So they went down to Florida and contacted some people. I'm not certain who or how or why, but they did that experiment with a group of women in Florida. Well, you know,
it's easy.
It's Florida. Come on.
Well, it's also easy to find people willing to do crazy, stupid shit to be on TV, too.
That's true.
All the producer has to do is start calling people and calling groups and go, hey, y'all want to be on TV? Everybody wants to be on TV.
Oh, yeah. Remember, they had it on their website at that time. You know, do you own guns and have kids? Call us.
Yeah.
Yep. And, I mean, they did this all in the guise of, you know, a scientific experiment. They all, you know, it's like the, you know, the Obamacare signing where they just hired a bunch of pages to wear lab coats to pretend to be, you know, pretend to be doctors. They're pretending to be a scientist, but I mean, you know, the idea being, you know, oh, there's, you know, this is for the sake of science, but you know, there's no control because the control would work out just the same, if not worse.
Sure.
And certainly I'd note that this one thing that got me for this experiment was different was one of the earlier versions of this, they actually had a mocked up gun that had some sort of sensor inside of it. So when the kids pulled the trigger in a way that it would discharge, it would, you know, it essentially, you know, let them know that yes, now that gun is technically fired. And this one, the kids didn't touch the trigger at all.
In the report, they talked about a gentleman who's a police officer whose like 3 or 4 year old son had climbed up on top of the dresser and had an accident and killed himself with the gun. And when they interviewed us, they kept bringing that up. And they didn't give us any of the details about, you know, this is a police officer and he knows all the rules and, you know,
and then you
come to find out in the show, it was just a loaded gun, no safety, not put away, sitting on top of the dresser that they just assumed that their 4-year-old boy didn't know about because their other children had never messed with it.
Right.
So.
And who the heck does this? I mean. I'm not necessarily a huge proponent that, you know, the gun needs to be disassembled and ammunition nowhere near it and all of that stuff. Cause I mean, I grew up in Maine. That's, you know, Texas is the same way. I mean, everybody grew up in a house where there was guns and ammunition, you know, in close proximity to each other, but Jesus Christ, don't leave a friggin' round in the chamber, you know, at least have the chamber empty with a loaded magazine in it, but preferably put the magazine beside it. Because as I say, if someone can insert that magazine properly and rack the slide and chamber around, or, you know, open up a revolver and put all the rounds properly into the cylinder and close it up, they're old enough to know better.
Exactly. But this clearly had a round in the chamber because he climbed up on the dresser, and it's a... accidental shootings with children, especially small children, happen because they don't have that force. They have to put the barrel to their chest and push forward with their thumbs, as opposed they can push, but they can't pull. Yeah. And so that's how it normally happens, which means it would have had to have been in the chamber.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's just one of those like stupid, simple, common sense thing is that just, you know, number one, don't do the bullshit of, you know, oh, my kids don't even know I have a gun. I know that was one of the segments that I saw was a woman whose son allegedly didn't even know that she had a shotgun in her house. And they asked him, you know, does your mom have a gun? Yeah. And he took it to where it was and all that stuff, you know, yeah, they should know where it is, because they should know, they shouldn't be discovering it like a set of Christmas presents. It should be well aware.
Yep.
Yes, there's a gun in the house. No, you're not allowed to touch it without me there. Yes, you are allowed to touch it. If you really, really want to touch this gun, ask me nicely, and I will take some time, and you can touch this gun and handle it safely. You know, and just make it so that it's not some, you know, mystical thing. Make it so that it's as fucking boring as it should be. A gun not on a firing range is absolutely positively boring as sin, because it's just a paperweight.
Right.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, you got to point in a safe direction and all of that stuff. Kids get pretty bored of them pretty quick. Kathy Jackson's got a whole thing about that. Is every time her, I forget how many kids Kathy has. She's got a million of them. But she just simply said, if her kids said, I want to touch your gun, she'd say, okay. She'd find she had a safe direction that they could point the gun at. And she would say, you know, here, let me show you that it's not loaded. Let's make sure that it's not loaded. Let's touch it to make sure it's not loaded. Okay, here you go. You can hold it. Don't put your finger on the trigger, and it stays pointed in this direction. And they do that for a couple of minutes and then go, okay, I'm sick of this. I want to go do something fun.
Yeah, when you demystify it, it becomes something boring, and they're really not interested in it.
You know, the thing that I don't understand with children and guns is that there are multitudes of dangerous things in a house that children know not to touch.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, don't drink the bleach under the counter.
That's going to be ABC's next special. Let's give these children this Drano.
Yeah. We put the Drano in a sippy cup, and then we're going to lay it out, and we're going to see if they drink it.
Yeah. Right. By the way, there's snacks on the counter with some chocolate milk, and secretly the chocolate milk is Ajax.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my goodness! And they drank it, even though they were taught not to drink Ajax.
Yeah.
You know, kids know not to throw kitchen knives at each other. Kids know not to take the car keys and drive the car. You know, it's like, you do see those cases though in the news once in a while, like where you, like the 6-year-old takes the car out, and you know, you see that once in a blue moon, but usually not. Kids know not to do that. You know,
it's usually some kid that's had to drive their alcoholic father home.
Oh God!
Yeah. Actually, I did go over to a relative's house once and was looking around for my cousin, who I think was about 7 at the time. And they said, "Oh, she's over at her friend's house. Oh, here she comes, and here she comes driving up in Dad's Silverado." But that's in farm country, Maine.
Yeah, kids learn to drive early in the farm.
Right.
Yep.
But there are a number of things in just a normal household that children are taught, you do not touch this, you do not do this, because it's dangerous.
Yep.
And if you have guns in your house, that's the sort of, like, it's called parenting. And I think that children who have accidents in the home with guns are not parented properly. We all know children who grow up with guns. In the home, loaded all the time, and they know do not touch them, because they've been parented properly to know that these are dangerous things. And they're not toys. You don't touch it. They're not for you.
Yeah, if you know people who grew up in farm country, these kids at, you know, age 10, they had a 22 rifle, and they had full permission to, yes, if you would like to go shooting, go out into the back 40 and shoot as many woodchucks as possible, because we want to get rid of them. They're ruining our farmland and all of that. And there's no problem with that. This is 100% unsupervised. I'm bored. I'm going to go grab my rifle and some and a box of shells, and I'm going to go out in the back 40, and I'm going to shoot woodchucks this afternoon.
Okay, but you shoot woodchucks.
Be home in time for dinner. And they shot woodchucks, and that's and
because that's what they were for.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't looked at the statistics yet, but isn't accidental death by a gun so far down the list of things that children die of these days that it's probably really not even worth talking about?
Right. Swimming pool and falls are the two biggest things. If you have stairs in your house and you have a Glock in your house, that those stares are something like 100 times more likely to harm your child.
Yeah. You know, get rid of, you know, if you're worried about your kid getting dying from a gunshot, get rid of, you know, gosh, get rid of the swimming pool, get rid of any buckets in your house, get rid of, you know, I mean, the list is very long. Then, yep. Then worry about guns, because damn.
My house came with a swimming pool. I got rid of that thing.
Yeah.
Plus, New England swimming pool is stupid.
Yeah. Use it as a skating rink.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I had to wait for it to thaw first before I could chop it up.
We saw two kids skating in their backyard. They had built their own little skating rink, and they were playing hockey in the backyard.
Yeah, I knew some people that used to do that. They were a big hockey family, and they put sandbags up in their back lawn, and then just before on a warm day, but when it was going to drop below freezing, Dad would spray the hose.
Yep.
into the sandbags, and then the next morning there'd be a really nice little skating rink.
There you go. Yeah.
And if you have a Zamboni, it is far more dangerous than a gun.
Yeah. Ooh, Zamboni. Hey, if you want to call in and talk to Amanda or anyone else about anything else, that number, 214-530-0036. And remember, it is a call-in show. Usually. Yep.
I mean, another thing to get into on the accidental death of kids and guns is how frequently, I mean, just as much as I, you know, doing blogging about this stuff, how frequently it comes up. I mean, I've never seen any statistics that say which way it flies, and they guarantee no one's ever done a study on it. But it seems like so many of them are cops and their duty guns. Is, you know, they come home at the end of the day and they throw it on the nightstand or something like that.
I think there actually has been something about that. It's really because they become complacent. It just becomes second nature. Yeah. And this family that was on the show, they said, well, we have two daughters, and they never cared. But boys are very different than girls. Mm-hmm. And boys want to be like daddy.
Well, plus...
And, you know...
Plus,
I wonder if that will change once... Now that more women are into guns.
They probably won't be cool anymore. Well,
but you also have to remember that for the most part, cops are not gun people.
No.
True.
The gun is just a badge of their authority. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it's like they take it home, they put it on the shelf. They don't go shooting. They don't, you know, they're not gun people. So, you know, the kid, it's probably one of those curiosity things. The kid's curious. He never gets to touch it. It's a forbidden fruit, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one of my big fears as a concealed carry guy is you know, getting in a situation where I'm talking to a cop, either it's a traffic violation or just any of those instances where a cop is asking me some questions and it comes up that I'm armed. And the cop decides, oh, since you're armed, obviously you're some sort of horrible threat to me or something like that. And once, I mean, I hear about it all the time about people that say, oh, you know, the cop wants you to disarm. And there's a million different stories between just the, you know, go real slow and, you know, go real slow and hold, you know, hold the gun between your thumb and forefinger, you know, and it's all going to be cool, or just keep your hands where I can see them and that's all good, versus I'm going to handcuff you and then I'm going to take your gun from you and, you know, put it in my cruiser until we're done here. And yeah, cops are not gun people, and possibly the only gun that they're familiar with is the gun that they were issued. And they may have, the first time they ever shot a gun was when they were issued their gun at the police academy.
Yep.
And so, therefore, I am terrified that a cop is going to want to disarm me and end up shooting me with my own damn gun. You know, and that's why I've gone over, you know, I've got a little thing practiced in my head of, in the event of a cop telling me that he wants to disarm me, of just saying, yep, before we proceed, officer, I'd like to make sure that we're all perfectly safe. My gun is here. you know, can we do it in such a way that you are not going to cover me with my own muzzle? And, you know, I'm, you know, happy to do that. Or I have a gun in my holster, in my pocket. It's in a pocket holster. Please remove the holster with the gun, et cetera, et cetera. You know, just for that sake.
Yep. I've actually had somebody one do that once when I got pulled over back in, oh gosh, it was back in the 90s. But, in Texas, you have to, when they ask you if you are carrying your gun, when they ask you for your ID, you have to give them your, not only your driver's license, but your concealed carry permit too.
Yes.
I'm correct that it's a misdemeanor in Texas, right?
For what?
For a failure to comply with that?
Yes.
I will make note and take it as you will that I'm noting that it's a misdemeanor in Texas, and I was aware of that last time I was carrying Texas.
you can also
interpret that however you would like.
Yeah. But this guy was all like squirrely guy. I mean, he was like afraid of it or something. I mean, he's like, "Do you have your gun on you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, he was all like scared or something. And he was like, I forget the exact conversation that happened, but I wound up, handing my gun still in the holster. I didn't even touch it. And he carried it like it was a fucking bomb about to go off and put it in his cruiser, and then he didn't even write me a ticket. I mean, he was just like, then he brought it back and gave it to me and said, "Go on," which was, it was bizarre.
Yeah. Well, I mean that gentleman that was arrested for open carrying the AR-15 on the hiking trail in Texas, you can clearly see in the video when they take his, he had an openly carrying a rifle, but he was concealed carrying a pistol, and the officers muzzled him with the damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that worries me.
Yep.
So, what else do we have? How about those callers? 214-530-0036. What, the cat got y'all's tongues? You scared to call in and talk to a man?
Or maybe it's a sign of 2020 viewership.
Yeah. Amanda's not scary. You can call in and talk to her.
She's a little scary.
You know, how about that heroin?
Yeah, yes. The junkie. Let's talk about the junkie.
Let's talk about the junkie.
I will waste a segue.
I want to lead off on this one.
Go ahead.
First, I want to just say, as an avid film buff and someone who unfortunately has to hold my nose quite frequently when watching movies, I got to say I absolutely love Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm really, really sad to hear that he's passed. I also heard he actually left three kids behind too, which really makes it sad. And I really think that, possibly with his issues, we may have never seen his, I think he was just starting to get into the amount of range he was capable of as an actor. And, it's a sad, sad story, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Nope.
Is he passed away of, not an alleged, a pretty goddamn obvious. I mean, all the reports I've heard was he was found with a needle in his arm, and there was
I think that's a pretty sure thing.
There was stashes of heroin all over his apartment and all of that stuff, and he was an admitted heroin addict and all of that stuff. But he's also an admitted person who's worked for the gun control group. And according to a story, when he did his last thing for, was that for Mayors Against Illegal Guns? Or
yes,
what?
It was.
Yeah,
for Mayors Against Illegal Guns, he was, according to all accounts, was actively using heroin at the time.
Yes, he was. Maybe they should make heroin illegal.
Yeah, they should.
Well, that's to funny because lives. You know, heroin is like completely illegal. There is I suppose if you're doing some sort of research, you can get a special permit from the DEA.
I know some researchers that do in fact have heroin and cocaine and LSD and a locker in their lab, but that is
it's under that schedule of drugs. You know, it's not like morphine.
It's a class two.
Yeah, there's this stuff is completely illegal. There is no the federal government recognizes no legitimate use whatsoever for heroin.
What about cough suppression?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So I actually have a fabulous stat on this. Heroin, for all intents and purposes, is an opiate. Well, most people that abuse opiates abuse prescription drugs. However, since 2007 to 2012, and I'll post the link to this graphic in the chat, heroin use has doubled because it's cheap. People don't have health insurance. They can't go to doctors. They can't get their prescription Vicodin, and they don't have jobs, so they're buying heroin on the street. 2007 was pre-Obama. 2012.
Yeah.
You can draw your own conclusions from that.
Oh my Lord. So people are taking heroin for like,
as a replacement for Vicodin and stuff. Oh. No, it's normally just opiates.
Oh, okay.
I've heard that the price of heroin is ever since OxyContin came out, the price of heroin has completely crashed because originally you were using things like Vicodin and codeine and all of that because it was a cheaper replacement for heroin, but as soon as OxyContin came out, evidently OxyContin is leagues better in the opiate family than heroin for junkies to use. And heroin suddenly became the cheap replacement for OxyContins. Hmm. And, but you know, the one thing I want to get into, and, many of you may know, I am a hardcore libertarian when it comes to the drug war. And it's not because I'm particularly interested in recreational drugs. It's not really my bag. I can do just about anything I need to do as far as recreation goes with alcohol and nicotine, but the big thing is the war on drugs is all of the places in America where there are the most amount of shootings and the most amount of stabbings and the places you can't go walking at night are the places that are in control of the gangs, and the gangs exclusively exist to distribute illegal drugs. There's no reason why they would have any money whatsoever if selling street drugs was not such a lucrative market. And so Philip Seymour Hoffman was making this video on gun control and making the streets safer and all of that. Meanwhile, he was making the streets more dangerous by putting money in the hands of the people that do all the shootings so that he could get his smack.
Yep.
And so I think we should sell it all at CVS. Just go stop by your local drugstore or gas station.
Except for nicotine.
Prove that you are 18 and to buy your heroin. Then all of a sudden those young inner city kids will just have to get jobs and study hard in school if they want to make huge monies and drive Bentleys.
Yeah. Who keeps beeping?
Blame Amanda.
Yeah.
It was me. Sorry, I'm a newbie.
It's always new guy's fault.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, let's take a caller.
Yay!
This is KY.
What?
Somebody in Kentucky, okay. I assume. Hello.
Hello, guys. It's Roadkill.
Hey, Roadkill.
Awesome. How you doing?
Doing okay, guys. Doing okay. I have often said when people try to give me crap about guns and whatnot, one of the things I love to ask, you know, it's like, or if I know if they've used illegal drugs, I will throw that in their face immediately and say, well, hey, you've done more to support the murder of people, and particularly in South America, than I have. I said, boy, there's some really nasty guys walking around like they own the place, plucking 14-year-olds off the street to throw in the prostitution. And, oh, golly gee willikers, they get all their money from you and your stupid need for hedonism. Love to throw it in their face. It's beautiful, really. I don't have a problem with drug use, just like weird. I don't have a normal problem with it, but because it's illegal, it creates, it funds monsters.
Sure.
And monsters on the legal side, too, because we wouldn't have door-kicking assholes with a badge.
That's mm-hmm. true. That's directly from the war on drugs.
Yep.
And you know, it's always funny because, you know, these people are like, oh, yes, if guns were illegal, nobody would have guns and gun death would go down and everything would be rosy. And yet they're all snorting the cocaine and the heroin and all that stuff that's completely illegal.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't even a case where, you know, if you scratch one of these gun control people, they're always like, well, yeah, you know, except for cops and military. You know, heroin is and cocaine and those sort of drugs are more illegal than what they are willing to allow guns to be.
Yep.
And yet, you know,
hell, at the current state, they're still willing to say that, you know, oh, you know, you can have your hunting rifle or you can have a 6-shot revolver.
Yeah.
Or all of that. But yeah, no, you cannot. By all intents and purposes, I mean, I know some labs. I don't know any people. I know some labs who legally have heroin, but you know, that's the amount of control that goes into all that is ridiculous.
Oh, sure. I bet it is.
You know, and it's all done through the DEA and
yep,
and all of that. But you know, and you know, obviously, police have their drug stashes for, you know, in their evidence lockers and for quote unquote training drug sniffing dogs.
Yeah, right.
You know, but it's no people own, you know, heroin, cocaine, you know, even, you know, legally.
Yeah, not legally anyway.
Yeah, but there's lots of people that own heroin and cocaine and, you know.
Sure.
You know.
Because it's all, you know, you can find it. I mean, even if you don't use it, even I haven't the slightest clue. I don't know anybody. Well, I don't know anybody that I know of that is, you know, for instance, using heroin. But I bet you that if I wanted to buy some, I could probably do it in less than a day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've told people, I said, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I know a few people in my lab that used to do a lot of drugs, and they've since moved on from that because they've got gainful employment. But, you know, even them, you know, they'll say, oh, geez, I don't even know, you know, I don't have any contacts anymore. I don't even know who I'd have to ask to get drugs. I said, yeah, but I bet if I told you, I'd give you $1 million in cash for, you know, for an ounce of heroin, you know, but and you know, so long as you came up with it by tomorrow, you'd come up with an ounce of heroin for me tomorrow.
And
the same thing with me. If someone was going to say, I will give you $1 million in cash, you just supply me 1 ounce of heroin, no problem.
Yep.
You just think about how much money a guy like Hoffman, guys, these rich stars, you know, Bieber, all these guys, think about how much money they spend on this stuff.
Sure.
They may spend in drugs more than we can dream of spending on guns in a lifetime.
Yep.
I mean, I just shudder to think of how much wrong happens, how much profit they give to the bad guys just by themselves. I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
but that's okay. They're celebrities. They get a pass. It's all okay. Democrats. Automatic pass.
Yep.
You know, I don't, you know, here's the thing, you know, the media was pouring, you know, adoration on this Hoffman guy, who, if he was just, if you know, take away the Hollywood angle, you know, junkie over OD'd instead of going to pick up his kids, you know.
Yep.
It would.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's.
I guess. It would have been the same if he went balls deep on a 10-year-old, right?
Sure.
Like, Like what's his name? Oh, yeah. Director.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roman Polanski. Another Hollywood piece of shit that I have to hold my nose for, because, God, he makes good films. But, boy, he really does need to get beaten to death in prison.
Oh, well, there you go. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, religious extremists.
Yeah,
all you can really say is they're religious extremists.
But yeah, that's a valid point, Alan, is the fact that, yeah, I mean, it's one of those. Hoppin was a phenomenal actor. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But also, he's a colossal asshole, because I don't care how good of an actor you are, the guy OD'd in his bathroom when he's got three goddamn kids.
Yep.
That needle in his arm was more important than his fucking kids.
Yep.
Yeah, fuck you forever.
And we got another caller. It's Bradley.
Yes, it is. And I figured, since we got two Texans on there tonight, and since she's your guys' rep, I just wanted to hear your guys' opinion about Sheila Jackson Lee's latest statement about how it should be their number one priority to give President Obama a number of executive orders for him to sign.
Yeah, that woman's crazy.
She is absolutely nuts.
Her caucus.
But also, isn't it executive order if somebody else writes it for you?
Yes. You think he writes his own? Come on.
No, that's true. That is true. That we are talking about the editor of the Harvard Law Review, who never wrote a single article for the Harvard Law Review.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
JG is no longer with us because he is now an editor for a magazine. Oddly enough, he writes articles still.
Yeah, imagine that. That's how it works.
What blows my mind is the article I was reading, she talks about it like that's actually supposed to be her job as a representative, you know, as opposed to writing actual laws for him to sign or something like that.
Well, she's a representative, so she can't get anything done.
Yep. And on top of that, she's going to keep getting reelected by her district. So I guess she kind of is doing her job, kind of, sort of.
I would call her batshit crazy, but that's insulting to both batshit and crazy. I mean, she is a box of rocks without the box.
Isn't she your representative, Amanda?
Yes, yes, she is.
Hence the reason why it's a goddamn shotgun.
I don't even know how that happens. You know, vote early, vote often.
Well, the
I didn't know it was actually one of your guys' reps. Yeah.
I live in the Poe side of town, that's slowly becoming the rich and guilty side of town.
Wait, Amanda, does that mean you have hipsters in your neighborhood?
Oh, my God, you have no idea. I've infiltrated the hipsters.
Amanda lives in Hipster Central.
I do. I really do. I have a bike trail less than 100 yards from my house.
See?
That I have to stop for.
That's like hipster bait right there. Bike trail, where they can ride their fixies.
Right. Now, do hipsters in Texas, do they still drink PBR, or is it okay to drink Lone Star?
I think the hipster lifestyle is cross country. I think they all read the same, you know, things, and they dress the same way, and I think they have to drink the PBR, or they take their hipster card away. I'm not sure how that works.
I have no idea. I just try to blend in. Buy their artisan breads and cheeses and go home, watch Fox News.
I'm just glad I didn't stay in Washington long enough to get contaminated with that hipster crap, because I swear to God, I was in downtown Olympia like 30 seconds and a guy asked me for a smoke. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't smoke. And he's like, no, weed, man, weed. Like, I'm going to be giving away marijuana if I had any.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
How hipster of the city do you have to be that people ask you for weed and expect you to give it to them?
I don't know. It's crazy.
Welcome to Austin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there is a whole lot of sharing going on in the weed circles. I remember watching Reefer Madness with a bunch of stoners, and they had the reefer den where everyone was all toking up, and people were noting effect of, oh, my God, they all get their own joint? They don't have to pass it around? Awesome!
Oh, man. Hey, thanks for calling, Bradley. We got people stacking up. Thanks. All right.
Why do people always call it the last minute?
I don't know. It's a thing.
Yeah. We just warmed them up.
And this one's from Madison, Wisconsin. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, do I have to talk about heroin, or can I talk about hipsters, or what kind of boundaries are you setting for me at this particular point?
This is the Square Report. We don't have any goddamn boundaries.
Well, you at least have to tell us your name.
My name is Gus.
Oh, Gus, okay.
It is Gus Avocado.
Yeah, all right.
Yes, after a long absence back stateside.
Yay.
And hipsters, which I guess hipsters and heroin go a lot alike, as long as heroin doesn't become cool. Because then hipsters will say they don't like it anymore. Like PBR, they were only drinking it because it was old man beer and nobody liked it. But, yeah, the whole Philip Seymour Hoffman thing, yeah. People give you a strange look when you say, yeah, dead junkie says guns are dangerous.
Yeah.
And and people tend to think you're a little unsympathetic. But, hey, you know, he doesn't care. But as far as the hipsters go, yeah, I don't know how you do that bike trail thing in skinny jeans. I think that would probably take more time. I've been to Austin, so I went there for South by Southwest, and
oh, wow.
I figured out that it was 30,000 hipster Californians jammed in to see the same bands I could see on any random Tuesday night in any town in Texas. So
yep.
I got the hell out of town and went back on Tuesday night and saw the same bands without the crowd. But yeah, I didn't. I don't have any great insight on heroin. I don't have any great insight on 2020 because I haven't watched that show since before they blew up the truck. And the next topic I probably have very little insight on as well. But thought I'd call in, say hi to the squirrels.
Hey, thanks
and,
for calling.
We're glad you're back.
Yes, welcome back.
It's good to
the
be
US.
Back. It's good to be back. I got stories, so. But yeah, I also want to tell you that I've got a little sympathy for Ohio because they got more snow but less cold. No damn sympathy for Texas. That's just how you drive. You're used to it.
Shush.
Yeah,
it's cold.
I would have sympathy for Texas if I was vacationing there right now. All right, squirrels. Good talking with you. Good,
thanks,
good to show back, and we'll catch up with you later.
All right, bye.
Alan, I was thinking about you every time I was using my snow brush. and I kept thinking about the fact as I'm brushing off my car and scraping the ice off of it, going, Alan thinks this shit is fun.
Well, yeah.
If you never do it, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Alan has never shoveled snow.
Yeah, I've never shoveled snow in my entire life.
I hate you.
Never, not once have I shoveled snow.
Yeah, I had to wait for the baby to go to bed so I could shovel out my driveway. Amazingly enough, I got inside before midnight.
Wow. Ugh.
You live up here, you can shovel more than once a day. You can shovel in the morning and then shovel in the evening.
I don't like to do that. I've done that a couple of times this winter, but you know, gone. Oh, I'll go out and shovel now. That way, it won't be as thick when the snow stops. And every time I go back out, I go, geez, that was a waste of my damn time.
Hey, before we run out of time, can we talk about this woman in Philadelphia that's complaining about the men failing her?
Yes.
Because I thought that was...
It's a good story.
Painful.
I thought it was so hilariously ironic. So basically, and I'm, you know, this is probably one of those mountain out of a molehill things. Apparently these two women were coming out of a club in the wee hours of the morning and were mugged, and they gave them their purses and one of them got shot. So, you know, terrible thing. But then she goes, where are our men? Why are they not protecting us? Men are failing us. I feel as though we're not being protected. Now,
what is that about?
Mind you, this woman is, I would bet serious money that she's a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, girl power, woman empowerment, you know.
Well, all women are usually that way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, women are conditioned to be that way now.
Sure. Yeah. You can do everything. You can be
everything.
Yes. And here she is. You know, she's not. You know, I honestly expect the next. I was reading this article and I kept expecting the whole, well, you know, like they say when the whole rape thing comes up. Well, we just need to teach men not to rape. And I honestly expected somebody to say, yeah, we need to teach men not to mug women and kill them. And they kind of alluded to it because, you know, she points out that this whole, you know, in past generations, you know, thieves didn't hurt women and children.
Yeah, okay.
You know, please give me a fucking
what?
Break. So. You know,
in the Wild West, maybe.
So, you know, it's just funny. Okay, first off, it's like 2:30 in the morning, and they're leaving a club in Philly. Okay, the entire city of Philadelphia is a shithole. I would not go out. When I worked in Philadelphia, there were parts of Philadelphia that the African American work crew I was with would not go into in the daytime without a police escort. I'm damn sure not going anywhere at night, and certainly not at 2:30 in the morning in a part of town. Okay, there's a club they're leaving. I bet you that's not a nice part of town, even by Philly standards. And she's confused about getting mugged.
Yep.
So.
And further, I mean, we should train men not to hurt women. No, we should train women to hurt men.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you're gonna mug somebody, they're gonna be wearing your testicles around their neck as a necklace. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing that just drove me crazy. Oh, the men are failing us. We're not being protected. Yeah. Well, what are you doing for yourself?
Yep.
If you're standing around waiting for your knight in shining armor to come save you from the big bad wolf. You're going to be screwed, lady.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't even understand that thinking. Are you a little girl? Are you a child? Or are you an adult taking care of yourself?
Hmm. Yep. And also, this is a prime example of, you know, it's very, very convenient, but you should not be carrying your firearm in your purse because that's what the muggers are after. And so... there's a good chance that your defensive tool is going to be exactly what you're trying to keep control of before they even know that they've got a gun in their hands.
Right. Well, I mean, you have to think about these women are... Philadelphia is a very anti-gun city, just generally, right?
Yep.
And they're coming out of a club, which I'm assuming has alcohol and no guns allowed, sort of thing. So you have that sort of issue where...
Yep.
They can't carry guns anyway. So
I believe in Philadelphia, technically you can, but well, your point is still valid.
Yeah.
Hey, we got another caller.
Okay.
Just 3 minutes under left. The wire. Area code 919. Hello.
Hey, this is Sean Sortino from NCM Blog.
Hi, Sean.
I know that guy.
Hey, yeah, this story pissed me straight the hell off.
I'm not surprised.
I got a good laugh out of it because my first, you know, I got pointed to it by Instapundit where it was like, fish feels rejected by bicycle, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's funny.
But Philly as a town, I used to live in Pennsylvania, used to live in Allentown, so I got my first, they don't call them concealed carry licenses, they're licensed to carry firearms. And Pennsylvania is I guess, not really unique. But you can drink and carry in Pennsylvania. There's no rule that says you have to be sober while you're carrying on your license to carry.
Nice.
Right.
The only weird thing is that in Philly you can't open carry unless you have a license to carry because it's a city of the first class. So it's difficult sometimes to convince Philadelphia to issue the license. And they'll use stupid stuff like parking tickets to deny you, but if you've got a license to carry, in Pennsylvania, it's only a trespass, and then only if they catch you if you walk past a no gun sign. So there's no reason that these ladies couldn't have been carrying if they wanted to be. No, what pissed me off about it? Oh, there was two parts to it that pissed me off. First off, that was her assumption that men exist to protect her, right? Not she didn't have any responsibility of her own. And she has the right to demand that I end up getting shot to protect her from something I didn't have anything to do with. Well, fuck you, lady. The other part was the political advisor, the political consultant that was advising this lady. I went after him on Twitter today. He did not really appreciate me telling him or saying that, that the woman who that was saying that, that men were failing her was an idiot. Can't imagine why. But he said he would let her know that they could get a license to carry firearms. But this guy was, he was the one that said, the hell was it he said? Something along the lines of women get mad and they get shit done or get stuff done. I forget how he put it.
Oh, yeah, I read that, yeah.
When women get pissed, yeah, they get things like, done.
Right, well, he was the one that, I have to find it. You just quoted him. You said it was the woman that said it, but actually it was him. Oh, the thing about the code of the street.
Yeah.
It's the code of the street, man. They don't, you know, they're not following the code of the street. These, you know, you don't hurt women and children.
Oh,
what fucking side are you from, you dumbass?
Yeah.
I mean, these are the same people that say, yeah, just, you know, if someone says, you know, give me your wallet or I'll kill you. Just give him your wallet. Your wallet's not worth your life. Well, if I give him my damn wallet, you know, if they've got a gun or a knife or, you know, anything really, just bare hands, you know, if they presented themselves as a deadly threat so that I'm not going to say, they're going to say, give me your wallet. And I'm going to say, no, I'll keep my wallet. You know, if they're doing something that's persuading me to give over my wallet and I do that, the only thing that changes is now they have my wallet. You know, it's like the old survivalist saying. You know, if you've got 50 gallons of potable water, and I have an AK-47, I have 50 gallons of potable water and an AK-47. You know, that old saying. It's one of those. You know, there's no true exchange here. They're just taking, and they're just as much of a threat after. So you shoot them, and then you call the cops.
Your money or your life is not a, you know, it's a threat. It's not a binding contract.
Yes.
What, am I going to sue him? I'm going to sue him. Well, he said it's my money or my life, and I gave him my money, and he tried to, and he killed me. You know, what am I going to do? I'm going to sue him because he violated the contract?
Yes. Yes. We had a verbal contract. You failed to honor.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. Plus, on top of that, you know, mugging people, whether they be, you know, men, women, or otherwise, is not an honorable profession to begin with. So,
you know, I wanted to touch on that issue, is that people, they're acting as if these criminals that go around preying on people think like they do. These are predators in the street. And these women are walking around at 2:30 in the morning in a bad neighborhood with very expensive handbags that apparently are what the predators want. So
you're blaming the victim.
I am not blaming the victim. I am saying that okay. Maybe I am. I'm saying that people need to be responsible for themselves. It's like predators are predators, you know. When you're out there in the street and if you act like prey, you'll be treated like prey.
Yep.
Also, I remember reading a psychological report on people that were career thieves.
Right.
And after they do it for a while, once they've got it so that it is actually, it's not just something that they've done once or twice, but actually essentially their primary form of income, their mindset changes and they change over to more of a career oriented idea of just like, you know, if I work 40 hours at my job, then I am owed this much money. Their statement is, you know, if I'm going to hold up a convenience store, I'm going to get, you know, at least, you know, $200 or $300 or, you know, whatever, what have they.
Sure.
And that's actually, you get a lot of instances of that's where the clerk complies with the robber and gets shot anyway, is when the robber realizes, geez, that till's awfully light. they get pissed off because now it's not they're getting cheated. It's, you know, it's not, oh, well, I guess my, you know, my little crime didn't pay off as well as I hoped. No, they felt that they deserved a certain amount of money for it, and they get angry and they kill the person.
Right.
It's, I mean, they're, it's not, it's, you know, you're walking around with your wallet in your pocket and this person's following you. It's no longer your wallet in your pocket. It's their wallet. And you're just, you know, taking it away from them.
Right. Well, you know, the way I look at it is that these people who kind of walk through the world thinking they can just do whatever they want and not be affected by other people's violence is like, you know, swim through shark infested waters with an open wound, you know, that sort of thing. Like, you have to protect yourself. You have to think, you have to be smart and consider the situation and realize that not everybody is like you. There are people out there who their main goal is to hurt you or take advantage of you or make you a victim for their own gain.
Yep. If I could do any one thing, I would sit down every 14-year-old girl in the country and force them to watch the confession video for the BTK killer. That's who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
That person who's going to sit there and tell you, oh, well, you know, I've got sexual problems. This is the only way I can do this. And you know, I'm going to rape you. I'm going to tie you up. And you just better go along with it. It's going to be better for you if you do. Oh, now, and then I kill them.
Right.
Yeah.
Because why not?
That's what really happened.
Right.
He lied to you. He told you what you wanted to hear. He said, oh, it's going to be bad, but it's not going to be too bad. And you went, well, okay. And you put up with it, and then he murdered you.
Right.
That's what life is really like.
Yep. Yeah, or the opening heist in the movie Heat. So, you know, another you know, fairly well, you know, well planned out, you know, idea is, you know, they end up shooting one of the guards of the armored car, and then as soon as one guard gets shot, they kill all the others because it's one of those. All right, now they're all up for a murder rap. So what's five murder raps versus one murder rap with what they're doing? And now they got rid of all the witnesses.
Well. Everything after the first one is free.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, beyond that, if the people want to see, if they want sort of the advanced course, they really ought to read Rory Miller's Facing Violence, because everybody makes this automatic assumption that if somebody sticks a knife in your face or a gun in your face and says your money or your life, what he wants is your money. It might not be the guy who wants your money that day. It might be the BTK killer. It might be the guy who's not a resource criminal. He's a process criminal. He wants to enjoy having power over you. And what's more fun, what's the most power he can have over you? He can choke you and watch the light turn out in your eyes, because that's lots of fun.
I just want to, and this is kind of a big question, and I know that we're way over time right now, but I wonder if there's sort of this magical thinking mindset that is pervasive with liberals that not only allows them to believe that gun control will work, but it extends to all sorts of aspects in life, even politically, where they think that, you know, they keep voting for these social programs that they think that will work.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's like this magical thinking that, well, if I believe hard enough in this thing that I'm voting for, or, you know, gun control or healthcare, it'll happen.
Well, what is gun control if it's not, well, I can't control the bad people, so I'll control the people I can control.
Yeah, but I think that you know, gun control will work because, oh, everybody's like me. I would give up my guns. Therefore, Mr. Criminal down the street will also give up his guns.
Well, I mean, I've definitely encountered a lot of people that, you know, that have had kind of that magical mindset, is that, you know, because I carry a firearm, and because they'll openly say, oh, well, you know, would you actually kill somebody? Yeah, of course I would. If someone is willing to kill me, I fully intend to kill them first. And they immediately just think that, well, because that's my mindset, then I'm more likely to be killed than they are. And they actually believe that because they're all, you know, peace, love, and happiness, joy, and unicorns, that they've essentially, they've got a magic talisman around their neck. Is that, you know, if they're live and let live, then everybody else is going to be live and let live.
Yeah, good luck with that.
There's that, too. There's that, too. That's the two ends of it that I see, is the people who believe that if what I give the world is good and happiness, then what I'll get back is good and happy. And then there's the other people who are, and they might be the same people, who say, I can't control the things that are dangerous in the world, so I'm going to enforce control over people who won't kill me for trying to control them.
And also, you have the anti-gunners who are very violent. They are violent within themselves, and they think that everybody else cannot control themselves.
On a quick aside on that, today the Boston City Council ordered to remove the gun control state representative who is currently in prison, but decided to wanted to keep his seat even though he was in prison for beating the living shit out of his wife.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a real winner too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you know what? They wouldn't have to remove me from office if I ever beat the shit out of my wife, because between my dad and my stepdad, there wouldn't be any prosecution.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it just goes to show you now, you know, God knows I badmouth the GOP as much as anybody does, but you know, it's funny that when a Democrat screws up like that, they never resign.
Nope.
Never. But when a Republican gets caught like that, they almost always resign. I don't think of anybody that didn't.
Aiken's probably the first example that comes to my mind, but he's the exception that proves the rule.
Well, they kicked him out.
Yeah. Well, they did.
You know.
But he fought it.
Yeah, well, you know.
But it's one of those, but as a general rule, as soon as someone in the GOP steps on their dick and gets called on the carpet for it, they're done.
Yeah, but Democrats are like, eh. Remember, what's his name? Cold Cash Johnson? Wasn't it Johnson?
Yeah, I think you're right. That's him. Hiding all that money in his freezer.
Yeah.
No, that was William Jefferson.
Jefferson, that's right. Cold Cash Jefferson. Anyway, all right, thanks for calling, Sean.
All right, take care.
All right, bye. And you still with us, Amanda?
Still here.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show tonight.
It's always fun. I enjoy it.
I'm sorry you got cut from the 2020. Well, no, actually, you know, given the way it turned out, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry you went to all that trouble to give them the interviews and the be real and all of that stuff for them just to say, no, you're not anti-gun enough. We're not going to use you. But at the same time, from what I've seen of it, like I said, I didn't get a chance to see the whole thing. But from what I've seen of it, I wouldn't want my face on there. I wouldn't want a quote there. I wouldn't want to be the token pro-gun person.
I bet they came to Texas expecting to find, I mean, come on, it's single moms. I bet they came expecting to get all kinds of juicy stuff they could use. Otherwise, why would they bother?
Absolutely.
By the way, what was the story behind that? Before we go, I want to know, what was the story behind that mom that quote-unquote almost shot her son?
You know, I didn't even catch all the details because I was already livid up to that point.
Yep.
So, but just reading everything afterwards, I saw that she had made a comment about, you know, hearing a noise and almost shooting her son, which I think she probably didn't actually almost shoot her son, but had pulled, you know, her shotgun out. And, you know, that was the scenario.
That's good
TV.
I forgot the guy's name, but the guy that was buying cigarettes when the Tucson shooting was going on, and he was getting ready to bear down on one of the aides that had grabbed the gun away from the shooter, and that was immediately put down to he almost shot an innocent person. No, he didn't. you know, yeah, he was way closer to shooting an innocent person than I've ever been. But that's a, you know, that's, this isn't a game of horseshoes. That's not a, that's not a, that's, that almost doesn't, all, that doesn't count.
Nope.
You know, it's one of those, he, yeah, he misidentified the wrong person, but he didn't shoot them. He showed restraint. That's exactly how it's supposed to go. Is, yeah, you hear, I mean, it's one of those, I mean, I guess technically speaking, I almost shot, you know, shot my buddy Vector, who's listening to this podcast now on Friday on his ride to work. Is, you know, he was over at my house and his cell phone fell out of his pocket, and then he realized it and came home, and we had gone to bed as soon as he left, and so he, there he was knocking at the door at like 10 o'clock at night, and I came down, I came down to the door with you know, with my 1911 in my hand and the safety off, ready to, you know, to deal with if someone was attempting to do some sort of home invasion. But it turned out, oh look, it's my buddy, let him in, you know, let him in. And all of that. I didn't almost shoot him. I didn't even come close to shooting him.
Nope. If that's the standard, then I've almost shot a number of people at my front door.
I was going to say.
The AT&T guy, the Mormons who keep knocking at my door. There's Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, there are a bunch of people. I just thought I'd mention him because he's a listener. But it's one of those, it's not an almost shot instance.
No.
You know, I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel anything like that. He's, you know, the lights are all off and he's, and there's somebody knocking at my door. I'm in bed. All right. This doesn't smell quite right. But he's like, sorry, man, my phone's on your couch. I can't call you because my phone's on your couch. I came right back and I need my phone. Okay, cool. Have a good night, buddy.
There you go. All right. Well, it's been a good show.
It has been a good show. Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Thanks for calling in if you called in. If you didn't call in, you have one more chance.
Yep. I want to remind everybody that next week we are having Marco Clus on the show.
For our
very first book club episode.
Yes.
Marco's going to join us and talk about his novels. We all knew him when he was just a blogger.
That's right.
And now he's a famous novelist.
And he'll be on Skype.
And he's going to be on Skype, so everybody can call in and talk to Marco.
Yes.
If you have not finished the books yet, read the books. Do your homework. Damn it.
I've almost finished the second book. And Marco, if you're listening, I just want to let you know, I almost sent you an email, but I'll say it over the podcast. It's just as good. On my Kindle's got the ads on it, and my Kindle ads have been showing Lines of Departure as
buy these
cool new sci-fi books now.
Cool,
that's cool.
So he's big time.
And if you haven't read the second book, you need to read it because
I think the second book is even better.
It is better. And it's better. Sergeant Fallon has a huge role in the second book, and you all know who Sergeant Fallon is based on, right? Everybody knows. Yes.
No.
It's your favorite squirrel.
Myra.
Your favorite squirrel. Breeda.
Yeah. Well, we can talk to Marco about that too.
Yes, we can.
Anyway.
You'll get to hear Breeda blush on podcast.
You can hear the blood moving to her cheeks.
Oh. Well, I've already had this conversation with Marco, and it isn't what you think, so... anyway, tune in next week and call in next week because Marco would love to take questions, I'm sure.
Yep.
So, anyway, thanks everybody for calling in, and Amanda, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
Thanks, Amanda.
Good.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Night.